This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
7 past 9 on the Tuesday edition of Jacksonville's Morning News. We'll get back to the latest developments out of Israel, Lebanon, and Iran. We are continuing to follow developments minute by minute. Trey Inks with Fox News is providing an update right now out of a suburb somewhere in Israel. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but it's another missile impact site. So stay with us. We'll have comprehensive coverage. We turn to one of our community partners, Mike McCormick with Florida Poison Control Center from Northeast Florida. And I want to have you introduce our guests who are here with you as well, because a really important event that's coming up in early May and really ties into a drug-free Duval mission, which is all about trying to eliminate, it might be an upstream sort of swim for the rest of our lives, but try to eliminate drug overdoses in this community.
Well, and the exciting thing is we are making some progress, but the key is that we need to continue. And this morning we've got Brian and Kim Kelly with us. They tragically lost their son to substance use disorder, but they're trying to turn their pain into purpose. And that's what they're here to talk to us about.
So how many years ago did you lose your son?
6. It'll be 6 years on July 11th.
Even though 6 years has passed, it probably feels like yesterday, I would imagine.
All the time.
Yeah. Yes.
What are you wearing today, Brian?
Oh, I have a variety of bracelets. I never thought I'd live to see the day that I wear bracelets and I have a tattoo. But they're all in memory of him. They're his initials and my grandchildren. But most of them are in memory of my son.
Are you wearing any remembrances, or is he just in, is Palmer still in your heart?
He is always in my heart. You know, losing a child is brutal. It changed our family forever. But we have two daughters. We have two daughters who are here in town, and together we are strong, and we, like Mike said, we want to take this tragic loss and help other families who are going through this in the community. We were at a loss when we saw a change in Palmer. We didn't know where to turn. We, you know, addiction wasn't even in our realm. So we're here today to help the Jacksonville community, to help other families, to let them know there are great resources out there, that there is hope, and that they can talk about it freely. And that's why we're here today.
And Rich, I think Brian and Kim are an excellent example of what I run into far too often, and that is families that didn't think this could ever happen to them, that it doesn't happen in their world. But the reality is I go across all the zip codes in your listening area, and addiction doesn't discriminate. So Brian and Kim, do you mind talking a little bit about the journey that Palmer went down? Because I think a lot of people in this area would be touched, and this would help folks.
Sure. He was a great kid, very talented, an awesome musician, guitar player that he just, I taught him how to play some open chords, and the next thing I know, he's just playing up and down that fret like nothing. He was an excellent junior golfer. He had some scholarship offers when he got out of high school. We decided to take a gap year to work on his golf game. He wanted to go to a little bit bigger school, and cocaine became his issue. And, I made so many mistakes in thinking that I could fix it. And I would always come up with a plan, and it would inevitably fail, and I would come up with another plan, many rehabs. Finally, it was him figuring it out, what he needed, and he checked himself into a sober living facility in South Florida. You know, if this death had happened the year before, I wouldn't have been that surprised. But when it did happen, I mean, he had checked himself into this place. You know, he called me one night and said, "Dad, you know how you always say we're closest to God when we are suffering and when we're serving?" So, well, I served today. Well, tell me about it. And there were two young boys that were like on the street, And he told them about the place that he was living, the Fern House. And they said, well, we can't get in. It's $200 for the first week. And he paid for both of those kids to get there. And they both rode the bus from West Palm to come to his funeral. That's the kind of kid he was. But he was doing great. He had been sober for so long. He had a good job. And on our 30th anniversary, Kim and I's 30th anniversary, July 6th, I just had a feeling something was wrong, and it was during COVID lockdown. We couldn't do anything. We were just home alone. And I called the place, and they said, yeah, he got a pass and didn't come back. And so that was the longest week of our lives, from July 6th, not knowing, not hearing, and then July 11th at right around 6 o'clock in the evening, three members of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office showed up at the house and told us that he had died. They do a wonderful job of that, by the way. I commended JSO for the way they handled it. Mm-hmm. And
you know, one thing I want parents to know out there is you cannot, you did not cause addiction. You did not, you cannot cure it, and you cannot control it. And that is why we've started this golf tournament, because Palmer loved the game. He loved being outdoors around people. He loved helping people at the end. And that's what this golf tournament is about, is for people to come out and not be ashamed or feel guilt or embarrassment, and to come out, enjoy a round of golf. It's going to be at Queens Harbor this year. It's a nice golf course on May 4th. We're going to have lots of resources at the tournament. We just want families to know that there is help out there.
Had he relapsed? Is that what had happened during that week?
He mm-hmm.
He had 100 days plus clean and sober. Holidays are a trigger. It was July 4th. So he relapsed with cocaine.
But it ended up being laced with fentanyl, and that's what killed him.
Yes. Mm. He thought just a little bit, but it was all fentanyl.
You know, the last time Mike McCormick came and visited, he brought us a gift. You see that box right there?
Yes.
We keep it here. We keep that box of Narcan in here because it kind of is kind of like, you know, you've got the AED in your offices and whatnot. I remember you saying that. And like, you know, you just never know what may happen. Is your hope, is your goal, is your vision that can be something that is as accessible as this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, when I got connected with Drug Free Duval, and Susan is here, she's the founder, I didn't even know about Narcan. So this is a wonderful product out there. I carry it in my purse. And so, yeah, I would love to see that more accessible.
And, you know, Rich, we're starting to see funding dry up to make Narcan accessible. So groups like Drug Free Duval, they're out handing it out. I'm out in public also putting it out. But our access to it, to be able to get it out into the public, is shrinking. So that's why events like this are so important. The other thing that's so important with this event is it's not just for golf. If you're not a golfer, you can come out. They will have tables set up for resources, because many parents were not prepared to deal with this. I mean, just think about it in general, Rich. I know a lot about your children. There's a lot about just everyday things that we weren't prepared for with our children. This is a whole nother level. Drug Free Duval is going to have the Safety on the Move bus available from JTA that will be out there, where we will do Narcan training and give it out. Several of the recovery groups in town will set up tables so that you can get information. And this is so important for parents. It is just so important, because it breaks my heart every time I have to meet somebody like Brian and Kim. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Brian and Kim, and I've enjoyed getting to meet them. I just wish it was under very, very different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. What is your ultimate vision? I mean, if there's a drug-free Duval, can that even occur? Or because it's such a huge thing, Kim, is it just impacting one family? I mean, is that an achievement? Is that a progress toward what might ultimately be very difficult into the future?
I mean, if we can help one family, that's great. But our goal is to grow this event, to, you know, just help the families out there with different resources. And, you know, we need more players. So, but our goal is to grow this event, to show awareness, prevention, and the resources out there. Just bring our community together.
So you're looking for foursomes, you're probably looking for other partners who want to be a part of it on May 4th at Queens Harbor Golf and Country Club, and you've got the opportunity at drugfreeduval.org. Yeah, I think I saw an Eventbrite, there's a Facebook page, like all you got to do is search May 4th Queens Harbor, you're going to find it, right?
That's right, that's right.
What were you going to say, Brad?
Yeah, I was just going to echo what Kim said. You know, I mean, we've met other parents that have been through the same thing through this, and our hope is if they see that we did try to make something positive out of this and try to turn such a tragedy into helping others, and then maybe that family will talk to another family and so on and so forth. And so that's our hope.
You know, you said earlier, and it sticks with me, because as every parent, we think about like all the different things that we could have done or questions you've asked yourself. Like if there's a message that you want to deliver to a parent out there, like is there one takeaway that you want someone to have as you have gone through this hell that you've been on this journey, but that you've continued to just reflect on?
I would strongly recommend looking into your local Nar-Anon group initially. We wound up doing that way too late. Mm-hmm. And realize what the difference is between enabling and actually helping. You know, setting up the correct boundaries. Instead of me trying to figure it out, there are people that can help you with that. And you know, I had a sponsor who's one of the first guys I called when Palmer died to tell him. And I can't emphasize enough how important that is.
And you know, Rich, one of the important things is a lot of times because we're not equipped is that there's a stigma and people don't want to talk about it. And we need just the opposite. We need people to open up, ask for help. There is treatment available. You can beat this, but we need to get that early intervention so that we can get people on the road so that we don't have to end up with tragic outcomes.
I'm glad you shared the vulnerability because I think that's really impactful for any parent that, you know, it's a journey that you're also on that other parents can hopefully tap into as well.
It is. It was a day in, day out. Is today the day? Is it going to be all right? What am I going to do if it's not? And like Kim said, you know, about not causing it, and you can't cure it, and you can't control it. Boy, that is so true. And if you can talk to somebody else that's been through it, even though their child didn't die, it's a feeling that only somebody else that has, you know, walked in your shoes can have. And I can't tell you enough how important I think that is.
How do you remember Palmer today?
I remember his smile.
Yeah.
He was always smiling.
He had a smile. It could light up the room. I remember his laugh. I mean, he had a laugh all over kind of laugh. And his eyes. He was very handsome. He had beautiful blue eyes. And we're blessed because he has a son and his name is Liam. And so we get him, 3 times a year. He lives in North Carolina and we see Palmer in him. So that is a blessing.
And a great memory for me.
Guitar.
Is 2 weeks before he died, he sent me a text and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm getting back to our roots." And so it was him with a guitar, played Blackbird. And that's the reason for the logo for the golf tournament, the Blackbird. And it was fantastic. And we actually, the folks at our church took that off my phone and enhanced it, and that was the last thing. As everybody walked out of the church after the service, that played. Mm.
It is a beautiful logo. The Alive Golf Classic is coming up May 4th, Queens Harbor Yacht and Country Club, with breakfast 7 o'clock, shotgun start at 9 o'clock. We're looking for foursomes, or if you just want to be a part of it, you can contact drugfreeduval.org. Sponsorship and playing opportunities are available there. And Mike, how can people get in touch with Florida Poison Control as well?
The Poison Helpline is always available, 1-800-222-1222.
God bless y'all. Thank you for what you do in advocating for the community. Yes, Kim?
Real quick, ALIVE stands for All Life is Valuable, Everyone. Mm. And that is the goal, to let everyone know if you're here, your life is valuable and you matter.
Well said. Kim and Brian, thank you for coming in.